time you got, Kim?
I'm showing any second now.
Okay. I'll wait about 30 more seconds according to that clock.
Okay, that sounds good.
So our attendance is 9 today.
Man, not too bad.
That's going to kill our average.
No more averages here, right? Yeah.
You can count the people who tune in.
What's that?
You can count the people who tune in.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. You can count the people that are... You know what? I better turn my phone off here. I just thought of that. I'm ready. Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we'd like to welcome you again to worship a little differently today because through the miracle of online technology, with our technician that is here today, like he always is, we are worshiping online today. I would like, however, to thank our music and worship leadership team, which includes Barb Fuller, Jerry Fuller, Sue Mott, Kim Finneson, Lorraine Finneson, Deanne McCormick, Bill Lewis, Pastor Linda Farmer Lewis, and we appreciate them being here to continue worship here at Mayflower. What we'll do is for the next 3 weeks, our plans are that we will continue to do this every Sunday unless there are further restrictions that would not allow us to do that. At the end of March, we will reevaluate in terms of what the situation will be at that time, and then we will keep everyone informed. So we appreciate everyone that's tuning in. I'd like to say a personal word to Chris and to Pam and to Mom and to Stacy and the girls, Olivia and Drew. It's nice to have all of you tuned in today, as well as many others, particularly our Mayflower family. The flowers today, I don't know if you can see them, cannot see them, but they're here. And they have been given in loving memory of Carlene Bramble's father, Carl Zimmerman. Thank you, Carlene. And now a word from our lay leader, Barb Fuller.
Good morning and welcome. Here we are, under what seem like almost unreal circumstances. We are dealing with the threat of the COVID-19 virus, and we are doing it in the best way we know how, asking our congregants to stay tucked away in their homes this Sunday morning. Through the wonders of technology, and in lieu of being together physically, we are providing the Word of God to you through scriptures, music, and messages that we hope will provide comfort and inspiration. And if all goes well, as Pastor Mark said, we will do the same for each Sunday that we are unable to meet here at Mayflower in our usual fashion. As we face this virus, I want you to know that we do so together. You are in our hearts as well as our prayers. And please know that we are only a text, an email, or a phone call away. God bless you. And now let us be in the spirit of worship.
That was, of course, immortal, invisible. Thank you, Deanne. Beautiful. Please join me in the call to worship. We gather for worship a little differently today.
Yes, it's different. We don't see anyone in the pews.
You're right. There is no one in the pews, but they have gathered.
If they have gathered, where are they?
For safety during this time of crisis, they have stayed home.
How are they going to worship being at home?
They are worshiping through God's gift of incredible technology. Lord, we remember that you are everywhere. Unite our hearts together here, online, and in our thoughts as we worship our Lord. Amen.
Please stand.
Join me in the opening prayer. Gracious God and loving Lord, we thank you for the privilege of worshiping you today through the miracle of online technology. We pray for a powerful experience of worship in song, scripture, word, and thought, just like always. Be with us and all those watching in this time of grave national crisis. Protect us and all your people from harmful disease as we exercise care and caution. Most of all, we pray that our trust in you will be strengthened and that our hearts will be opened to your healing and uplifting presence now and always, no matter what. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Please be seated.
Hear thou now these words from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you.
Hear now these words from James 1, verses 2 through 4. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing.
And now hear these words from Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
We are reminded today, even as you gather at home, that we are mindful of our blessings, which are many, and our gifts, which are many. We thank you for the gift of your presence online today. I'd like to thank the worship team for their gift of continuing what we always do at Mayflower and in the church, to offer our worship and praise unto the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, the gift that we remember today is the gift of your presence, and your presence is promised to us always by your Holy Spirit. And so as we pause during our time in worship, when we think about gifts and offerings, we thank you for the great gift of yourself. And then when Jesus came, before he left this world, he told us that he would give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of one who stands beside and prays in our behalf. And so we thank you for all of the gifts that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts of your people, that we are not with physically, but spiritually, we feel the love and gifts of their presence in your presence today. Thank you, Lord, that sometimes, even during these days, it is difficult to know how to pray. And so we rely on what you have taught us. And now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
That beautiful piece that Deanne played on the piano may not be familiar to all the Mayflower folks, but for some of you, and maybe those that are not part of our congregation watching today, might recognize that hymn known as My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. Thanks again, Deanne. But in deference to familiarity and a song that means so much to us, a hymn, Amazing Grace. Oh, well, just like happens every Sunday, the pastor sometimes gets confused. Thank you, Deanne. That comes later. That familiar piece comes later. Deanne? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Would you stand? Yeah, you may be seated.
Hear these words from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
Hear these words from Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose.
Hear these words from Joshua 1:9. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless now these words humbly offered in the Spirit of Christ. Amen. It's a joy to work with the worship team today. They're helping me out here a little bit, as you can see, when the order is slightly different. But I want to say thank you to each of you who have come today to continue our wonderful tradition in all of Christendom and here at Mayflower, and that is the faithful worship of God. And we again appreciate those that are watching. What a bummer. In typical Tom Izzo fashion, the team struggled through some losses they most definitely should have won. They looked confused. Sometimes they looked average and benign. Admittedly, they went through a lot, including the tragic death of Cassius Winston's brother. But in the last seven games, they looked like a team who had a realistic shot at winning a national championship. And if you don't know, I'm talking about the Michigan State Spartans. They were looking good. Just think what a championship or even a deep run into the tournament would have done for our community and the campus that has been beleaguered by scandal. What a lift it would have provided. And now, it's all gone. No Big Ten tournament, no March Madness, no basketball, and pretty much no sports. Bummer. It significantly reduces viewing options, too, during a time of quarantine, whether self-imposed or mandatory. To say the least, we are living in amazing and perilous times. What are we to do in times like these? Well, first, we need a history lesson. This is not the first time in modern history when our country, and indeed the world, faced a pandemic outbreak. 102 years ago this month, in March of 2018, an influenza virus known as the Spanish flu, that would have been probably more correctly named the swine flu, became the deadliest pandemic the world has ever known. Worldwide, 1918, what did I say? 2018, how about 1918? We'll get that straight. Thank you, Deanne. And at least, get this, 50 million people around the world died from the disease, directly affecting more than a third of the world's population. There were more deaths from this flu than from the deaths in all the wars of the 20th century. And we've had some terrible wars. And although the world's population was much smaller at the time, there were more deaths attributed to the 1918 influenza pandemic than any disease in recorded history, even more than the bubonic plague, which began in the early 1340s, then arrived in Europe in 1347 when 12 ships arrived from the Black Sea, docked at the Sicilian port of Messina. Nearly all the sailors were dead and the rest gravely ill. In 1918, nearly every community in the United States was affected. At first, no one knew what caused the outbreak. Scientists initially thought it was a bacteria, and there was temporary relief from all the hysteria when people received vaccines. However, bacteria had nothing to do with it, and those vaccinations were to no avail. We now know that it was caused by a virus, but you might be interested to know that there was no vaccine ever made for that flu epidemic that happened within the lifetimes of some of our grandparents. As is typically the case, pundits circulated unsubstantiated rumors about the origin of each outbreak. During the bubonic plague, people did not understand the biology of the disease like we do now. And many people believed it was divine punishment, a retribution for sins against God. So, in order to seek God's forgiveness, they decided to purge their communities of heretics or other troublemakers. And as a result, thousands of Jews were massacred in 1348 and 1349. In 1918, some thought erroneously that it was a bio war unleashed by the Germans as World War I raged on across the Atlantic. Popular evangelists of the day also claimed it was a punishment for sin. It was reported that Billy Sunday, and I saw the video on this week, the actual video, and one of his evangelistic meetings was preaching about that punishment from God when some in the audience during the meeting fell ill and medical personnel rushed in to treat them. Without naming names, just a few days ago, a popular televangelist claimed that if you have a healthy gut, which has certain, how's that? Enzymes, that's a good one. I'm getting a lot of help here this morning. That if you have a healthy gut, you won't get sick from the coronavirus. To substantiate this, I watched the episode in recorded form, and I was shocked when he then offered a free book about the subject, which requires viewers to go to his website and leave contact information. Not that it is important to have a healthy gut, and as we were reminded even in the worship team this morning, we need to drink water. And there is a lot of health benefits to having, as that book says, a healthy gut. But another popular televangelist's wife urged viewers not to get vaccinations, and I quote, and I saw this one too, "Jesus gives us the flu shot." History seems to repeat itself. However sincere, and sometimes I question it, those things come out. So the history lesson. Secondly, in times like these, we need perspective. And let me say this to those of you watching and all of us worshiping, this too shall pass. Not the greatest reassurance during this time of uncertainty, but in 1918, during the worst epidemic ever, it passed almost as quickly as it came. It began in March, right about now, abated during the summer, returned virulently in the autumn of that year with 195,000 deaths in the United States alone in 1 month of October. The Surgeon General of the Army said at that time, if the epidemic continues its mathematical rate of acceleration, civilization could easily disappear from the face of the earth. Strangely, in about one more month, shortly following the signing of the armistice, it was gone. It went away almost as quickly as it had come. People celebrated the end of the war and the end of the epidemic simultaneously. And Dr. Shirley Fannin, an epidemiologist, said recently, in light of our knowledge of influenza and the way it works, we do understand that it probably ran out of fuel as it ran out of people who were susceptible. In whatever way, shape, or form, this too shall pass. Another perspective is that we must accept the inadequacy of the government, science, and technology. Even the people that most dislike big government are often the ones who complain the loudest when the government does not seem to be doing a very good job. And we know that so far the government doesn't seem to be doing a very good job, at least in the relatively empty promises made to provide desperately needed testing. Fortunately, some things are improving. Sometimes even the best scientists are caught off guard who are right now scrambling to come up with a vaccine. When thinking about worst-case scenarios, our country has a woefully inadequate hospital infrastructure and the number of beds available and medical services that probably will be needed. Conversely, we must also acknowledge the importance and the amazing vitality of science and technology, especially in the medical field. And what we are doing right now, worshiping online, is in response to the good advice and counsel of the medical community and our government. It is a good example of how much harm we are shielded and protected from as a result. So God be with those scientists, medical personnel, and hospital folks who are doing amazing work, including my stepson, who is on call and perhaps working in the hospital just now. Thirdly, I should say, in times like these, we need community. Of all cancellations, perhaps the most unnerving is the decision on the part of many churches to cancel worship services, such as we have done. This is a time when people are anxious and fearful, and the need for comfort and prayer is very important, along with that intimate connection and fellowship we share with each other as we gather physically in church. But we also acknowledge that large gatherings can be a hot spot for the spread of disease, especially since we are often cozy with each other, albeit in an atmosphere of trust and respect. We shake hands, share communion, offer affectionate hugs where appropriate, and it's sad and painful to have to cancel our times of gathering and fellowship physically together. We proclaim that our faith is greater than our fears, but we get it. Canceling is and was the right thing to do. So we may have some lonely days ahead, but in spite of any quarantine, we are going to need each other. So thank goodness for the telephone, the internet, and social media. We don't know what further restrictions will become necessary or mandatory, but our isolation and social distancing will remind us of our need for our communities, meaning our families, our friends, our neighbors, and the beloved community, our family and friends in the faith. I miss you already. Let us continue then in our faithfulness that all of you have so much demonstrated here at Mayflower. We intend to continue online worship as long as no new restrictions are recommended and that our dedicated team remains disease-free. Call and text each other, as Barb reminded us, more than usual. Check on your neighbors, especially the elderly ones. And practice the Sabbath by doing some or all of the following. Recognize the gift of downtime. Read and meditate. Spend more time with anyone else in your household. Be still. Prepare meals together. I'll try to do that, Deanne. Indulge in some good movies, including historical documentaries. Complete long-delayed tasks. Talk to each other about what you can learn from this experience. Talk about your blessings. Play a game. Make something. Listen to more music. All of these things can and will be worship for now. Finally, then, in times like these, we need God. There is an ironic twist here that psychologists remind us of, that there is an identifiable link between fear and faith. Fear and faith both require us to choose something that is unknown. If you are listening to me today, chances are you have already chosen faith over fear. But we stand at the threshold of a time which will most definitely test our faith as well as our resolve. And while our faith in the living Christ is a mystery, I leave you with some thoughts about our faith, augmented and eloquently deciphered truth we find in Scripture by that most capable of writers in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. So, personally, let us not blame God for the coronavirus. Let's let God be God and leave all judgments in God's hands. In Romans chapter 8, one verse of which was read earlier, Paul reminds us that all of creation has been groaning in labor pains, as he puts it, which means that as believers, we are not exempt, nor are we insulated from the effects, be it flood, drought, famine, pestilence, or indeed pandemic. Paul goes on to say that while we enjoy the first fruits of our faith expressed perfectly in Jesus Christ and verified by his promised gift of the Holy Spirit, we still groan inwardly while we wait. So we wait, as Paul says, for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. This is not a desire to see our lives end as if in despair, but to know that our faith is grounded in eternal hope, which is activated by our faith. Our faith amplified by our Lenten journey that we have taken and will continue to take tells us that our lives, as Linda puts it so eloquently, are hidden with God, even though we do not know the end game of this deadly outbreak of disease. Paul says, if we hope for what we do not see, then we wait with patience. So we must be patient. In a final declaration, Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. We are called to that purpose. What has been happening before our eyes, the coronavirus outbreak, is not good. All things are not good. But from bad things can come good. When some things, even our daily routines, are temporarily removed from us, like the joy of gathering, the affectionate gestures given and received from those that we love, and the freedom to go where we want, when we want, we can better learn during the difficult seasons of life to treasure the joys of life that we often so take for granted. Thanks be to God.
And now may the risen Christ, who fills all things, fill you with health and wholeness and peace that passes understanding. And may you go in that peace and in that power, knowing we are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Say we love you.